Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hey, welcome back to The Download, everybody. This is Chris Jones and Mark Caro.
Hello.
We're in for Justin Kaufman. We're with you all the way until 11 o'clock. We've got all kinds of good stuff coming up for you tonight. We're going to be talking television. We're going to be talking restaurants. We're going to have comedy from the Second City all before 11 o'clock. But before that, even more exciting, right now in the studio, we have Liz Taylor, the longtime literary editor at the Chicago Tribune, also the author of a book that I don't mind saying I think is the most incisive book about Chicago perhaps ever written, American Pharaoh, which is the story of Mayor Richard J. Daley.
It's like the triple crown winner of Richard J. Daley biographies.
It is.
You spelled it right. And I was with you when it won the Belmont because it was during the Lit Fest and we were standing in Bar Louie, I think it was, watching it on TV. And we're like,
the Belmont. And yeah, I couldn't believe it. A Baffert horse winning the Belmont. Shocking.
There you go.
I'd do it again.
Well, yeah, but it had been a while for the Triple Crown. But so the one named after your book. And so how much of a cut did you get on that? That's why they misspelled it. So then you couldn't make any sort of claim.
No,
do you want a snack, by the way? We got some Pitos. We got some Blazing Buffalo Nana chips.
Or anything that has that sort of salty and sweet.
All right. I'm going to give you, and then we'll actually ask you real questions. But I'm going to give you some cinnamon and sugar millet and flax chips. I think these are pretty.
Are these sponsors?
No, we went to the sweets and snacks show, and we came back with stuff. Camille, what did you think of what you had? You had a little snack during the break.
I did. I tried the truffle popcorns, both of them. I like them a lot, and the Pitos.
The Pitos.
Yes, those are really good.
All right. Oh,
this is my dinner, so thank you.
All right. That's well, Liz, we just want to say thanks for coming in on Memorial Day. It's greatly appreciated. Yeah, so we lost like two giants of the literary world, right?
Yeah.
With Tom Wolfe and Philip Roth. So let me start by asking this. Which was the bigger giant of the literary
world? And it's like, Caro, you do that cage mech. So, I mean, let me just say, there are no Adams and Jefferson, right?
Right.
Thomas Jefferson, John Adams died and the same day and, yeah.
July 4th, even.
Yeah, and we're kind of foes. They were just so different. They were, the more I think about it, they probably were, had the same feel, the same enemy that Adams had for Jefferson and vice versa. I think for journalists.
Yes.
Wolf is the bigger one.
Why?
Because I think he influenced journalism so dramatically. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was actually at this book festival, and a Chicagoan, William Friedkin, was complaining about a writer. And he goes, that guy, he doesn't know the new journalism is dead, which is such a great line. Wolf inspired so many imitators.
It was just a different kind of writing. It was, if you're a nonfiction writer, which all of us in journalism are to one extent or another, you were definitely influenced by him because he just had such a way with language, and there was so much life in it and so much imagination in it, but it wasn't like he was making stuff up. And you read the right stuff, and there's a lot of the author in there, but it's also an incredible yarn. And then your electric Kool-Aid acid test, or all of these things where he was observing the 60s from a specific point of view, but really making you, putting in you in those rooms and put, and you know, in a way.
Yeah, he was a reporter. I mean, he had worked, starting out as a journalist for New York Magazine. So he really loved those telling details, those facts, and then sort of going from there. I think, the fiction was well reported, but was weaker.
Yeah, Bonfire of the Vanities sort of came out, and that was like, wow, this guy really captured the whole 80s zeitgeist. And from there then on, the stuff just seemed kind of long. But if he'd only written Bonfire of the Vanities,
right,
and they hadn't made that terrible movie out of it,
right,
then maybe he would also, that maybe, would be considered right, like this one it, right, great it, piece of fiction.
Like, yeah, if he'd stopped before I Am Charlotte Simmons, yeah, the one about Duke, and you know, it was like old men writing about sex. Terrifying.
Which gets us right into Philip Roth.
Exactly. Very nice segue.
Thank you.
All very nice segue. So there really are so interesting. And in fact, I recalled that in 1989, Tom Wolfe did this really sort of very inflammatory piece called Stalking the Billion-Footed Beasts, the Literary Manifesto of the New Social Novel. And he slammed novelists for not writing sort of big social novels.
Right.
Kind of like he wanted, he did. And people were, you know, troubled by that. But Roth didn't do those sort of big social novels quite, but he did do very political novels. And I mean, and then politically, Wolfe and Roth, their worldviews were so completely different, you know.
Yeah.
You know, urban, Jewish, Roth, and you know, and Wolfe was deeply conservative.
Yeah.
I mean, he was very. I mean, he won the Tribune Literary Prize,
which made you conservative.
No, that's not true. He shocked everyone, and by saying that, you know, he was for the Iraq War.
Yeah.
I mean, he really. Very, and also sort of as a person was more conservative.
And no, yeah. these guys were very popular, right? Like a lot of people read them in a way,
right,
that maybe, is there anybody now of that level of intellectual inquiry, say, that is actually that popular? I mean, you know, because these guys were not, you know, you would go, people could talk about their work, a lot of people.
See, it's someone like Jonathan Franzen, but he only puts out books so infrequently, and they're so large. Like Roth was incredibly,
right,
and yeah, and you know, and like Plot Against America. I mean, that was 2004, so he was already over 70 years old when that came out, and that's one that people keep coming back to now because,
right,
it's imagining what if Lindbergh had won the election?
Yeah, and, no, he was very political, and now at the same time, I mean, he was a great novelist in many ways, but I don't know, if a few days ago, a woman, Dara Horn, crystallized some what many of us felt about Roth and had a hard time articulating, and she wrote this piece called What Philip Roth Didn't Know About Women,
right,
Could
I
Fill
saw that.
A Book.
Yeah.
And,
so
you know,
what,
I think,
what didn't he know about women?
I think the women in all of his fiction, they were so flat.
Yeah.
There were no sort of interesting working women. That he didn't, with his incredible psychological acuity, he focused it all on men.
Mm.
And then these women were sort of limp on the page.
Why? Why do you think that's the case? Like, why did he do that?
Well, I mean, I suppose, I mean, maybe women just they didn't interest him.
No.
I mean, people follow their own curiosities.
No. Well, or that his characters struggle like he did with,
right,
women. I think that he just didn't. I mean, it's such a male-centric point of view that he was putting forth, and he was sort of writing about these struggles of these men who don't understand women, and it just sort of came out that he kind of didn't in real life either, to maybe to some extent.
Right, and then one of his ex-wives, Claire Bloom, wrote about their terrible marriage,
right,
which didn't,
right,
really help him.
Right.
But you know, still, I mean, he was not afraid to write very political books and to bring up issues about, you know, race, and that, you know, were, you know, very interesting.
Now, did you enjoy them? Did you sit down with a Philip Roth, the young Liz Taylor? Not that you're not still young. The young,
you.
Even younger Liz Taylor.
And oh,
did
my
you
God.
Really enjoy the books?
Oh, did I love Goodbye Columbus growing up? Absolutely. That was one of my, the first like novels I thought was just like explosive and fun, and it was great. I mean, no, I go for more of a doctoral.
Yeah,
you know, he was more my sensibility, but I think that and the writing. I mean, his novels were just. I mean, the language. He was just so skilled, sentence by sentence.
Yeah.
Whereas Wolfe, you know, he really relied on the flash of of the details, right, of the explosive sentences, and you know.
Chris, have you read Portnoy's Complaint?
No, I've never read that.
You've never read Portnoy? Okay,
no,
you have to go
read. I've read Goodbye Columbus.
But yeah. Portnoy's Complaint is very funny.
Yeah.
And Portnoy's Complaint is a different kind of writer, Portnoy's Complaint, than like American Pastoral or The Counterlife or Plot Against America.
Or Human Stain.
Or Human Stain. Yeah, it's just because they get heavier as they get older. But you should go back and read Portnoy's Complaint. Because when I was younger, the younger me, I did read Fulton.
Even younger.
Younger me. I actually have a lot. The Ghostwriter is a terrific read. Like, they were good reads.
All right. Well, we're going to come right back with Liz Taylor. We're going to talk also about the upcoming Printers Row Lit Fest. So if you've got that on your summer calendar, if you want like a little preview of who's going to be there, what big names are going to be there, what exciting presentations can you find, don't go away. We'll be right back.
You recognize the song?
Welcome back.
What's the song? Hold on. No, there's a reason for that, even though it's kind
come
of
on,
a weird
Shay,
one.
You're such an intellectual.
Oh, it's God. It's Brian Ferry, The Right Stuff.
The Right Stuff.
And leading into the last segment was Paul McCartney and Wings' Letting Go, which is
Philip Roth book.
Thank you.
I
was waiting for that. And if you want to call in and compliment the song bumpers, 312-981-7200. But join in the conversation. You can text us. You can call us up. Talk about literary heroes.
All right. So... we have Liz Taylor in here with talking about Printer's Row. This is Chris Jones, by the way. Mark Carroll, we're sitting in for the great Justin Kaufman.
It takes two.
It does, because he's that good. Okay, Liz, so coming up, the annual Printer's Row Literature Festival.
Is that how you pronounce it?
In Printer's Row. So, okay, down and dirty. If I don't, you know, what are the big, like, can't-miss extravaganzas at the Printer's Row?
And you should say when it is. It is too.
Yeah, when is it actually?
The 9th and the 10th, right?
You got it exactly right. June 9th and 10th. Well, and Chris Jones, what will you be doing there?
What?
Yeah. You're doing.
What am I doing? I don't ever know what I'm doing. I'm
doing
David Cale. Yeah, the performance artist, David Cale, who's. I was actually cleaning out my old, cleaning out the basement, and I came across an interview I'd done with David Cale. 22 years ago. So if you've been around Chicago for a while, he's been performing here for 22 years. Wow. And so that's exciting. So who are the other
Did you know that I interviewed Philip Roth?
When?
No, Tom Wolfe.
Tom Wolfe?
In his white suit, yes, I did.
In his white suit?
Yes, in the middle of the day. No, at his house.
Where was his house? Where was, okay, now we're getting to the good stuff.
Now we're warming up. In a brownstone in the east side.
Was he nice?
And couldn't be more lovely.
Oh.
He couldn't be more lovely. And
what do you talk about?
Well, actually, we talked about American studies, the idea of like that as a field. Anyway, I don't know. The Right Stuff was about to come out. And
the movie or the book? The book was about to come out.
The book, I guess. Yeah. I was a child. I was sent by Time Magazine and, you know.
That's great.
To the famous man's house. And it was great. Anyway, but. David Cale.
Who else is coming to Printer's Row?
Well, you're going to be interviewing a former Obama speechwriter.
Yeah.
David Kinane. We like to say it's very democratic. There's something for everybody.
Okay.
You got Joyce Carol Oates coming. You got David Ross, the catcher, who just his
David
15
Ross,
minutes.
The Printer's Row book
The
fan.
Backup catcher who just won't go away because everybody loves him.
Yeah.
What has he written?
I was a backup catcher. Here's a book.
David Ross.
About David Ross.
My life.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. I call that, you know. A product, maybe.
No, Dave, no, no, David Ross. Don't diss David Ross. He was their good luck charm because they haven't won the World Series since he left the game. His book is...
I hope you got a big... You better have a big tent for David Ross. I can imagine you got a big spot.
Well, you know, we're at Jones High School. Oh, girl, don't forget
Jones. Chris Jones High School. Chris Jones teammate, High School. My journey in baseball and a World Series for the ages.
Oh, so he's writing about his experience at the Cubs and all the rest of it.
He did that.
He's not writing about...
He was also on Dancing with the Stars, you know.
Yeah.
He's not writing about Philip Roth.
Is that like a... Can you just show up for him? Or do you have to get a ticket in advance?
Well, now, I shouldn't be saying this on radio.
Oh, say
but
it.
We,
come on.
You're supposed to get a ticket, but really just show up. Just come.
But probably for someone like David Ross, it would be better to get a ticket, though.
Yeah. It's better to get a ticket. But really, there should be ample room.
It's a big auditorium.
Like Franken, you know, I think that was like sold out. But in fact, there were 900. Oh, it's so sad.
Al Franken, but a year ago, Mark.
But a year ago. That's another show.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so it's good to have a ticket, but, you know, even if there's a waiting list and people, you know,
so a lot of people just like the ambience, right? You just stroll around, all the booksellers and all the. I always like the radical store. What is it? What's that radical Haymarket Books, right?
Right, exactly.
And you can kind of, you know, see all these guys with the Communist Party.
Right,
yeah, it's kind of a great Chicago tradition.
I used to love going to the Brandeis book sale in Old Orchard.
Yes.
It was a big thing, and they don't have... So this is kind of the closest thing where all the book people kind of hang out, and there are all the tents, and some of it's used books, and they're also really good movie posters you can look at, too. And all the events are indoors now, because it used to be outside in tents, so we're not in the tents anymore.
Yeah, yes, you know, which I miss, but you know, on the other hand, in 90 degree weather,
usually there's one day that's like today.
Right. Hell yeah! And so,
in fact, I remember, you know, when my kids were little, I remember an almighty thunderstorm where people were like tents were falling over. What year was this? I don't know. It was tents were falling over. It was the crazy. It was wild times.
Not good for books.
It was not good for books.
No, it's not. Tom Skilling was not there that year.
Right.
He should write a book.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, Al Roker has a book on the Johnstown flood, believe it
does
or not.
It really?
But he's not coming. Anyway. Wow. But who is coming? So some really, we tried.
Stephanie, you got some chefs, I see. You got Sarah Grunberg and Paul Kahn and Stephanie Izard.
Yes.
Those are really good towering figures here.
Yes. And Bayless is coming in the food, you know, that whole food world. That's really.
Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos.
Now, there's a draw.
I think it's such a really cool book.
What is that book? It's a little novel.
It's a really
Little novel.
No, it's very.
He's gonna rub
tightly.
You out. You call his mom.
No.
He's gonna come and take you out, Liz.
No, it's short and tense.
Like him.
It is. And so he doesn't have to carry a lot. I heard him at the LA Times.
He gets rubbed out at the
really,
end.
Yeah, exactly. It's really. It's very sort of urban and gritty. I really liked it.
He's going to read from it? Is that what he's going to
read and talk?
Here he's in conversation with Steve Johnson.
Yeah,
there you go.
Talking.
Our Tribune colleague.
Yeah, so he's going to be talking about that book. But we're also try to have a little. That is actually a really good book.
Yes.
And then there's like some serious nonfiction. We have some. What I'm really excited about are sort of the interesting pairings. Like Natasha Trethewey has just moved to Chicago. She was a poet laureate.
Oh, great!
Won a Pulitzer, huge, a very important poet. She's going to be in conversation with a friend of hers, actually. Kevin Young, who is the poetry editor of the New Yorker. So that should just be fantastic.
So I'm going to put you on the spot before we go, okay, because we're almost out of time.
Oh, my God.
So they put you on your spot. It's a beautiful, your summer's beginning. What is the one book that Peter, like, if you, you know so much about books, Liz, what is the one book that you would say, okay, this is what you should be reading this summer? This is what you should be getting. This is what you should be
summer book.
The summer book from Liz Taylor. Okay, it's one more than
I'm going to be, so I think.
It's hard.
I'm partial because I adore her. But Rebecca Mackay from Chicago has just written this.
Rebecca Mackay.
MAKKAI. It's called The Great Believers.
The Great Believers.
And it's everything from the 80s, 90s, AIDS.
It's a novel. It's a novel.
It's a novel. In Chicago to Paris and the art scene in, you know, back to what Wolf is talking about. That's a big social novel.
All right. So Rebecca Mackay, The Great Believer.
And I'm really excited about that. But we also have, like, Jesse Jackson's coming because it is – there's a new biography of Harold Washington.
Well, so this is a printer's row. But when is it, Mark Caron? June 9th and 10th,
which is a Saturday and a Sunday.
Fantastic. Liz Taylor, thank you for joining us on The Download. And we'll be right back.
All right.